other sufferings that we may experience in the human realm. There's the fear of meeting enemies. There's the fear of losing loved ones, of not getting what one wants, and encountering what we don't want. We may spend so much time acquiring wealth, fame, status, and in acquiring that wealth, that fame, that status, how hard do we work? How many hardships? How many sacrifices do we make? And in doing it as well, how many negative deeds do we commit? Do we hurt other people in the process? Deliberately hurt them, or hurt them just because we are only concerned about our own success, our own fame and status, not concerned about what we do with other people, because this is a competitive environment and it's only the survival of the strongest. Do we cheat in getting what we want? Do we lie in getting what we want? Do we deceive other people? Many, many things we may do that are negative in achieving our success, our wealth, our fame, or status. And once we have it, for a little while, we might feel very happy. We have accumulated this wealth, this success, feel envied by other people and feel important. Then once we've got it, we've got to look after it. We don't have to look after it, but a lot of energy is put into looking after it. We don't want to lose it. We don't want it to diminish. We want it to accumulate and grow. So we spend a lot of time protecting that wealth, counting, checking that it's okay, checking that it's growing, checking that nobody's coming to take it. The reality is eventually we're going to lose it anyway, or it's going to be used by somebody else. For some people, they become more and more miserly. Once they have the wealth, they become very reluctant, and it's very difficult for them to let go of any of their wealth. They just want it to accumulate. It's like drinking salt water. They just want more. How many people have accomplished reasonable wealth, but they're only satisfied for a little while, and then they want more? And they become sometimes too stingy to even offer to other people, to make charitable offerings, to help other people. They hold their money tighter and tighter. Even heard a story of somebody, I think it was a Frenchman, very, very wealthy. And apparently what he said when he died, he said to his wife and his children, he said, "When you come to the other side, I want to know how you spent every single cent. You must report to me." So attached to his wealth, so concerned about his wealth. And people that are so concerned about their wealth and are so attached to it at the time of death, it might cause them really, really great suffering, terrible suffering, when they have to leave all of this wealth, the fame, the status behind. When we're protecting our wealth, what happens? Sometimes we hurt other people as well. We're suspicious of other people, mistrust other people, think that other people are just here to come and take our wealth, to take what we've got. And the reality is, there are people, when you have wealth, that are just around because you have the wealth, because you have the fame, because you have the status. So the company you keep sometimes causes problems. Sometimes there may be thieves. There may be people that are just there to benefit as a result of your fame, fortune, or status. And their wish to benefit is for their own benefit. So it brings about many, many more problems. A lot more attention. And sometimes that attention is attention we don't really wish for, that we don't seek after. It may even put our life in danger. Some people may deceive us. They may put us in awkward situations. They may even hurt us. They may even kill us for our wealth. They may be jealous of us. And when people are consumed by their greed or their jealousy, then they might do things that harm us directly, or plot against us, or plan for our demise, think of ways to take away what we've got, to gain it in maybe unsavory ways. What may even happen is that some people may even get hurt for their wealth. Some people will put their life before their wealth, maybe even get killed trying to protect their wealth. Some people are killed, murdered, due to their wealth, due to their possessions. So it brings danger to one's life. As I think it was Patro Rinpoche said, when you've got one horse, you've got one horse of worries. If you've got many possessions, you've got many worries. In addition, it might even be friends that hurt you or plot against you or are jealous of you, or even your own family. You do hear stories of parents or children. It works both ways, where they may cheat you. They cheat their own parents. I'll use the children to parents, but as I said, it can be the parents to the children. Sometimes parents, they put in so much effort for their children. They really work hard. They really wish for the best for them. But their children are dissatisfied. Their children think that whatever is the parents' is theirs. Sometimes they even plot against their parents, steal from their parents, hurt their parents, even kill their parents. Parents might give them a really wonderful gift, and it's really taken them a lot of effort, a lot of hard work, a lot of consideration. And some children are just not grateful. It's just something that is expected. Somebody else from outside comes and gives them a small little present, a little chocolate, a beer, a bottle of wine, a flower, and this is such a wonderful, special gift. They consider this so much better than that, all the things that their parents have given them. It's possible that your loved ones just desert you, they separate from you unexpectedly, they don't pay you any attention. You may have done so much for them, but at the end of the day, they just don't care about you, or they are not willing to spend time with you. And this can happen with the parents and with the children. So this we see as well, the fear of losing loved ones, and loved ones as well. They are going to one day leave us. Maybe while we're still alive and they're still alive, maybe we separate because of divorce, because of arguments, disagreements. And at the time of death, we're going to separate anyway. The same applies to friends as well. We may have wonderful friends. When we're young, we think we are friends. We'll never be separate. We'll always be together. And somebody says, one day you're going to go your separate ways. You won't always be together. When we're young, we think, crazy. What does this person think they're talking about? We know we have this bond. But when we get older, we realize how true this is. Everybody goes their own way, their separate ways. For work reasons, for love reasons, for adventure reasons. How often have we stayed together with the same friends? Being very, very, very few. And friends can also just change very quickly because of some disagreement. Something unexpectedly happens. We have some friends when things are going well, when there's a lot of status, there's a lot of fame, maybe a lot of wealth. Everybody's happy to see us, happy to invite us over. We lose that fame, that wealth, that status. Maybe we do one or two silly things. People don't want to know us anymore, don't want us around. Sometimes in friendships, we have this trading. It's like a contract in relationships, one for one. I give you a meal, you give me a meal. I give you a meal, you give me a meal. And if we don't reciprocate, then suddenly there are issues in the friendship. There are all sorts of different scenarios that could occur between loved ones, meeting with enemies, situations we don't want to meet with, having a terrible boss, having a really troublesome employee. All of these different scenarios create all sorts of different sufferings for us in this human realm, in this samsaric existence. There's also not getting what we want, encountering what we don't want. We all want to be happy. We all want to feel good. But is this always the case? Do we always get what we want? What about? We get what we want, but it's not what we want at the end of the day. It's not what we expected. And all of us don't want to suffer. But is that the case? How often, although we don't want to suffer, do we experience suffering? We might build a house, but something might happen to the house. It could be a fire, there could be an earthquake, and suddenly that dream of that house or having the house just disappears. We could get it, but because of an economic downturn, loss of a job, suddenly we have to lose the house as well. Or we might have the great plan, everything is set in motion, but then some unforeseen event happens and we can't buy the house, although that was our big plan. It was all prepared, ready to go. We might want to satisfy our hunger, but we can't. Or when we do go to satisfy our hunger, what happens? We go and have a meal, we go to a restaurant, we think, oh, I really like this meal. But the meal doesn't live up to our expectations. It's not what we wanted, what we thought it was going to be. And then we're unhappy. Well, we're hungry, we eat, there's a few of us together. And funny how it works, this karma. Maybe there's four or five of us, we go together. We all eat the same food, but there's only one of us, it's only me, that gets food poisoning. 24-hour DNV, don't know which way to face the toilet. So we went there to have a good time, to have great taste and satisfy our hunger. And the result was a lot of suffering and a lot of unhappiness. Think of soldiers. They dream of going to victory, coming back heroes. How often does that happen? How many of them come back? Those that come back, how many of them aren't scarred by the horrors, the terrible things that they experience and witness when they're there? How many of them come back without physical injury, without any kind of injury? There's people that dream of creating or making great profit, great wealth. How many people really make that great wealth and that great profit? How many of them have really wonderful ideas, but something happens, doesn't work. They come back with nothing. They come back ruined. Their ideas didn't work, were stolen. Their goods were stolen. They got cheated, deceived. It just wasn't a good adventure. It wasn't the right timing. It was a good idea, but the economic conditions weren't right. All sorts of things can happen. Merit is so important. Whenever you have the chance, generate positive merit. No matter how small the meritorious deed, invest, generate merit. Many things fail or succeed as a result of our merit from our previous karma, not necessarily because of what we are doing now. As they say, a spark of merit is often greater than a mountain of effort. You notice some people, they may have the greatest idea. They have really something that sounds like it's really has nothing, no ways, but going to have success. but it doesn't succeed. And other people don't seem to be doing much, but they just seem to have enough. They just seem to have plenty, abundance. This is often the result of their previous merit, those meritorious actions and deeds that they've planted in their mind stream, those karmic seeds of positive deeds, positive merit. And don't be too reliant, too attached to the current happinesses and abundance that we have. With impermanence, it can change very quickly. As they say, joy is just like a dewdrop on a blade of grass. It'll evaporate sooner or later. And we may encounter what we don't want as a result of our past karma. We may be slaves under the control of other people. We could be slaves as we think of in the traditional sense. There could also be the situation where we just don't have any freedom. Our boss, our employee doesn't give us any freedom. Maybe also we're in a relationship. And in that relationship, we just don't have freedom. Freedom to practice the Dharma, free to go and do what we want. I've seen this in relationships where either maybe the husband is so controlling or the wife is so controlling. They want to know what their spouse is doing every moment of the day. They're gone for half an hour and then the phone starts ringing. Where are you? What are you doing? Checking up on them every half an hour. And if they're not answering their phone, they have a hard time. They get scorned. They get reprimanded, they get the cold shoulder, in a way, they get bullied emotionally. And often they just don't have the confidence to stop it, to get away from it, or to put their foot down. You think of animals, even some people, they're getting led to their death, to their execution, and they just don't have the freedom to escape. They can't do anything but walk forward to their own death. They can't escape. And there's the suffering of being never content. There are people that have incredible wealth, great fame, great status, what other people would be dreaming to have, but they're not happy. It's not enough. They're dissatisfied. They're disgruntled with what they have. They're disgruntled about other people. They're disgruntled or not happy about the politics or the economics. There's always something that they can find fault in. And they do find the fault, and they're always considering the faults or the unhappinesses. So although they have materially, it would seem that they would have happiness just mentally, they just don't have that happiness at all. Relentlessly controlled by the karma of their past actions. When the karmic winds blow, when the karmic seeds ripen, they're just without freedom, are pulled in this direction, pulled in that direction, experiencing all kinds of different unhappinesses and sufferings. Like a bull pulled around by the nose ring. Develop a dissatisfaction for all of this suffering of samsara. As we see, even in this human realm, there are all of these sufferings of samsara and a disinterest for all of these material distractions. Let's dedicate the merits. This good. May all obtain omniscience, having defeated the enemies of wrongdoings and the turbulent waves of birth, old age, sickness and death, may all be liberated from the ocean of the suffering of samsara. Sonam deye tamcha zabanye tobnye nyepe dranan khajeja geka nachir balan trupai zipi tsoli troa troa shoo.